Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Match Ball.
Hello there. This podcast is brought to you by Levi Solicitors. 10% off your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. The Matchball 30. 30 years on, charting the journey from Leeds United's return to the top flight to lifting the championship trophy in 1992. And we're going game by game with a matchball on the 30th anniversary of each match. Today, a slight break from tradition in that we're basically taking you for an appointment to the dentist. We're dragging you all the way to Croydon, to Selhurst Park and Crystal Palace away. An unpleasant trip whenever it is, be it 1990, be it 2020. But here we are.
Yes, it's a London, big London away day, except when you get to London, it's about another 6 hours on a slow, shitty train.
Not a happy hunting ground is the cliche for Leeds at this point. The previous 8 times we'd been there, no wins. Previous 6 times, no goals. No goals since 1984. Scott Sellers scored one, even lost the first ever playoff final, or rather didn't win the first ever playoff final, but because loads of the coaches didn't arrive at the ground until nearly halftime for that match in 1987 anyway, the niceties of the result were probably lost on some of the fans who made that trip.
One thing we've discovered this season is that Crystal Palace are actually really, really good.
They've been good for a while. The team of the 80s, when Terry Venables had them, and here they are with... They were the previous season's losing FA Cup finalists after a replay, finally overcome by some team from Manchester. Things might have been very different for the football landscape if Scum hadn't won that match, because it helped keep Alex Ferguson in a job. They might have been looking for a new manager at the start of this season if that hadn't gone to plan for them. They've got Mark Bright and Ian Wright up front. Ian Wright's just had an England call-up in the build-up to this match. Their partnership has been ridiculous for a while. Up to this point, I think 160 games they'd played together, 150 games, sorry, and they'd scored 120 goals between them. Just beaten Southend 8-0 in the League Cup, unbeaten in 7 as well in the league. They're like Wimbledon, but because Steve Coppell is their manager, it's like Wimbledon reimagined by a winger.
They're going to go on to win the league and dominate for the next decade, I would imagine, looking at this. Such a strong position. They've got good young players. Just looking through that, I mean, I watch a lot of the Palace youth team, and that Stan Collymore and Gareth Southgate, they both seem like pretty handy players to have as well. So once they come into the team, they're going to be flying.
It's not a bad first team either. I mean, they have the country's first million-pound goalkeeper, Nigel Martin, in goal for them. Young and Thorne, not the... who was Tracy Thorne in?
Everything but the girl.
It's not an alternative lineup of everything but the girl, but it's Crystal Palace's defence. Eddie McGoldrick's good. Jeff Thomas will become an England international if things go his way. And then, yeah,
handsome young lad called Alan Pardew.
He's not in this. Oh, he did start this game as well. Yeah, didn't he? I mean, it's worth going back and finding Crystal Palace's FA Cup song that they performed on a TV chat show. Is it Derek Jacobi who presents it? I can't remember. Yeah, there's some incredibly awkward singing along to their song with Nigel Martin and John Pemberton, both very prominent.
Let's do those lineups then. Lukic, Sterland, Haddock, Batty, Fairclough, White, Strachan, Pearson and Chapman up front again, the two units. McAllister and Speed complete the Leeds United lineup with unused substitutes. Chris Kamara and Carl Schutt back from his loan at Malmo.
His inspirational loan. He'll no doubt drive us on to avoid relegation, win the league, something. He did something good there, didn't he? He told us.
Yeah, he turned up there and all their other strikers started scoring, so he didn't have to play. Perfect.
And that Crystal Palace lineup, Nigel Martin in goal. We got Humphrey, Shaw, Pardew, Young, Thorne, McGoldrick, Thomas, Wright, Bright and Barber. But Gary Speed returning to the Leeds United lineup, but he was due to be the substitute in this one, and yet he found himself in the lineup.
Yeah, Wilkinson was saying he was going to keep him out of the starting 11. He didn't play against Arsenal, and he was asked about that. He said that sometimes at his age, it's good for players to stand back and have a look at it all. The first division's a difficult one to step up to. It will not have done Gary any harm to find that out. In fact, it will have done him a power of good. It's probably a good point. A good job he did start this match in the end, because his goal was absolutely brilliant. All the misery of Selhurst Park and never winning there, and the length of the trip and the power and the threat that Crystal Palace posed, and they went a goal up. But Speed's goal, it's a simple one, a header from a corner, but it's absolutely magnificent.
I think the nice thing with this goal is the speed with which he arrives. He seems to have, you can't quite see it in the shot, but I can only assume he's kind of run from the edge of his own box to get to this one with the pace he's arrived. And the fact no one's marking him, but it's got such a lot of pace on it, both the run and the header. It's just a glorious bit of play.
Staying in the air for that long is just, you don't see footballers doing that. It's like he's running through the sky for ages and then running towards a ball that's in the air. I'm used to seeing Lee Chapman nodding in a header from 2 yards or diving at a ball that sort of maybe he has to go in the air a little bit, but often it'll be sort of in front of him at lower than head height. So he's bringing his body down so he can meet across and crash it past the goalkeeper at sort of 4 feet. This ball is, what, it's 7 feet, 8 feet in the air, and Gary Speed just appears. It's like he's riding an invisible bicycle. To throw the time frame miles into the future, I put a clip of this goal on Twitter one day, and Phil Hay replied to it saying that there is almost nobody else that could be scoring that header. And this is his first goal in the First Division, isn't it? One of his first goals in the First Division. He scored against, did he score before this? Who even knows? I'm so excited about how good it was that I can't remember.
I mean, it was from a few yards out, but I think equally he could have headed this from 30 yards in the way he did, and it would have probably still gone in.
£1 million goalkeeper, and it just goes, it's not even to his side, it just goes through him. And he must have seen it coming, because it's like Gary Speed is running straight at Nigel Martin and then jumps and heads. And you'd think, if you're a goalkeeper, right, that ball is probably going to be coming in my direction. I'll put my arms up and I'll stop it. And he puts his arms up and it just goes through him and it's in the back of the net. And Speed is running off to the corner with a massive grin on his face before Nigel Martin can even touch his moustache and wonder what's happened.
When I think of Gary Speed and his qualities as a footballer, if you had to sort of distill him into one thing, it would be this sort of goal. It would be that leap and that ability just to stay in the air for so long and the power of the headers. That, for me, is what he was characterised as a footballer. Would you describe this in cliche terms as a textbook Gary Speed header?
Exactly. Only we'd never seen it before. So it's a brand new discovery about a player who, Howard Wilkinson was saying before the match, that maybe shouldn't play and needs a little bit more time out of the team to get used to the First Division. He's been called up to Wales at this point, and he is getting, people are saying a lot of nice things about him. Gordon Strachan said that I keep telling him, I wish I had what he's got. He's got pace, he's got great touch, and he's good in the air. And Terry Yorath, who was Wales manager, was saying he's a fine prospect. And if he has a weakness at present, it's a slight lack of self-belief. But now that he's playing First Division football regularly, his confidence should rapidly improve, and then he will really be a force to be reckoned with. He just made his international debut against Denmark. He said it was a very promising performance. Wilkinson was a bit more, I think he's trying to stop him from scoring goals like this by keeping his feet on the ground a little bit. His comment before the game ended with him saying he should go on to have a good career in football. But then he puts him in the team and lets him do something like this. And, you know, he can do absolutely anything if he can do that.
I really enjoyed the build-up to this goal as well, or the build-up to the thing that led to the corner. It reminded me of Carlos Alberto's goal in the 1970 World Cup final. It's quite a famous one. It's where Pelé kind of collects it on the edge of the box and just casually rolls it into that right-hand channel. So Pelé in this role is played by Lee Chapman. I believe. He was a very similar sort of player. And Carlos Alberto is Mel Sterland. But rather than shooting first time, he kind of just cuts down the right-hand side. But talking about the speed of speeds run-up as well, Sterland, likewise, just arrives at the box going at about 200 miles an hour, and they've absolutely no way of stopping him.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Getting caught up in the majesty of Speed's goal there, let's not forget it was an equaliser because the game hadn't been easy up until that point and we had fallen behind.
Ian Wright's very fast, isn't he? That seemed to be causing us a bit of a problem. I think maybe, given we're looking at strikers, he might be worth a look.
I don't know if money could buy him. He is that good. And yeah, as I said at the start, Wimbledon, but as managed by a winger. And if you imagine John Fashanu had pace, it's probably maybe something like this would have, I don't think it would have occurred to Dave Bassett, or would it? Because Dave Bassett had Brian Deane and Tony Ogana when he was at Sheffield United, and that was all about running very quickly into the box and scoring. But yeah, the way that Crystal Palace go from their end to ours is frightening.
Nigel Martin starts this move off as well, doesn't he? He catches a Sterling cross, throws it out to McGoldrick, who then plays it forward to Wright. But I mean, I'm happy enough with Lukic, but is Nigel Martin someone to keep an eye on as well for the future? I don't know. £1 million seems a lot of money.
They've only just signed him.
And you say that about Ian Wright, and you know, you're probably going to be looking at, what, £2.5 million if you wanted to sign him. Imagine paying that for a transfer, £2.5 million. That could get you, what, half of Ian Meslier these days?
We got Lee Chapman for, what was it, 400,000. So who got the bigger bargain? And he didn't even score this. He puts it wide. Admittedly, it looks like it was by centimetres. But yeah, it's the kind of chance you would expect Ian Wright to bury. It was a big wake-up call, that one.
It's a classic bit of Ian Wright play as well, isn't it? The way he's able to control it and just move it out of his feet quickly and shoot across the keeper. We'll go on to see him score plenty of goals like this.
And Jeff Thomas had a chance as well in that first half. Jeff Thomas, of course, made famous for hitting the corner flag or whatever it was when he had that shot. Imagine that being your career legacy. But in this game, he had a slightly better opportunity against Leeds.
Just ask Steve Morrison about that being your career legacy.
I'm not entirely sure what happens with the defending on this one. There doesn't seem to be a huge amount of danger, and then Shaw just essentially passes to Thomas, who seems to be stood with no one anywhere near him. I think Sterland and Fairclough seem a bit confused as to who should be marking who, and Chris White's just a bit further to the side, and it's essentially just to put him straight through on goal without any kind of guile in it whatsoever.
Just a huge gap there suddenly, isn't there?
But Lukic does very well to come out and close it down.
Well, as 2020's Patrick Bamford would tell you, you position yourself between the defenders, don't you? You go between the fullback and the striker or whatever it is.
Yeah, but you're not normally picking your spot along a line of about half a mile, as Thomas seems to be able to here. But as Michael said, the way Lukic comes out, he sees the gap and is very quickly out. And it's a big, strong hand that stops Thomas from scoring.
Would VAR have another look at the rebound these days? It comes out to Thomas again, and Chris Fairclough's over there to deal with it. I think on reflection, he maybe just clatters him and it should be a penalty. But no one seems to complain. It seems like that's a fair amount of contact. I think in reality, neither of them get anywhere near the ball, so it kind of seems fine.
Fairclough does deal with it. He also deals with Geoff Thomas, and the ball is basically left to look after itself, isn't it? But yeah, as I said, nobody, there's not a hint of anybody claiming for a penalty. Just, yeah, corner, play on.
And that sort of wrapped up the chances in the first half. Into the second half, though, and we had a big chance that nearly almost immediately led to Crystal Palace taking the lead, 54 minutes in.
We were actually getting on top in the game. Wilkinson said he'd been pleased by the end of the first half and sent us out to do more of the same in the second, and it was looking like we were taking control. And yeah, this was a chance to go ahead.
I don't know if the whole defence was just having a failing this day, but the finish from Chris White when it falls to him from Chapman's flick is, it doesn't hit the corner flag, if we're looking at the positives. Does it hit his foot at all? It's not entirely clear. If it hits it at all, maybe gets a stud on it or something, but he has a big swing, big old swing with his left foot, which then almost goes to Fairclough. And then about 5 seconds later, the ball's in the net at the other end.
To be fair to Chris White, he does get a bad rep for his touch. And I think it's all to do with the fact that his legs are about a mile long. But don't forget that he was playing indoor soccer in the United States of America just a couple of seasons before this, where he had a very good record on goals and assists. It was six a side on a pitch that's the size and sort of proportions of a ice hockey pitch. But without the ice, it had, I don't know what it was, just parquet floor, I guess.
You could say it's the size of a five-a-side pitch.
Yeah, that's maybe a better comparison. But it did have it. But it does have the, I think it had rounded corners. I can't remember. I've watched some of it. And he is good with his feet, but not here.
It's Ian Wright again who does the damage here, because when it's cleared, he's just far too quick, races away from us, and then squares it to Thomas, who just taps it in more or less. So the Lukic, he does almost get there. It's a very good effort for him.
It does make you wonder why Peter Haddock started at left back. I can only assume that Mick Whitlow was injured for this game, because Haddock was the player chasing Ian Wright, whereas if it had been Whitlow, I think he would have overtaken him and just taken the ball off him.
Like a racing car going into turbo, no less.
Exactly. But it was a good effort by Lukic, but he hurt himself quite badly and needed a lot of treatment after this. He thought he dislocated his collarbone or his shoulder. And I think the assessment was it was just bad bruising, but he was in a lot of pain for the rest of the match. But he said afterwards he was quite pleased that the rest of the team just kept the ball away from him, and he didn't have a lot to do because, well, it wasn't long before Gary Speed equalised.
And that's one of the things that we're starting to learn about this team this year is the resilience within it, and the fact that even against the sides who are the better ones in the division, we're really putting up a good fight and not lying down.
From the highlights, it really feels like without Ian Wright, we'd have probably been fine in this. But he's just a constant thorn in our side. He nearly scores again towards the end as well with another long ball over the top that he gets. It's almost an absolutely world-class goal, is this. He controls it with his right foot, and then without it hitting the floor, he just volleys it with his left straight at Lukic, which is probably fortunate given he's broken by this stage. But it's just the counter-attack that we seem to get caught out by in this game, which was causing us issues. But I think, again, it's to go away to one of the tougher teams in the league and get something from it. It's much like 2020, it's reassuring to know we're not getting outclassed.
That was kind of Wilkinson's take on it at the end. Howard Wilkinson described it as probably our most... This is, I mean, Howard, come on. It was probably our most comprehensive away performance in terms of having a good team and a good performance for most of the time. Thanks for that insight as ever, Wilco.
And another cultural reference, a touch point here for the kids. Strachan is saying it's a bit like a Des O'Connor record, a music hall joke that everyone hates Leeds, but we're no joke. We are no joke.
He was responding to, there was quite a lot of more positive praise after this match, following very quickly from the Arsenal game, when all the London journalists had come up and realised that, oh, Leeds are okay, aren't they? And then they didn't have to travel as far, although, as we said, Croydon, it isn't really London. But they went there and said the same thing. David Batty was getting a lot of positive notices after this match. Him and Strachan were the engine room that was keeping this performance more on our side. I think there was no doubt that we were the better team. It was just that threat that Michael talked about, that Palace could just go up our end at any point and give Ian Wright a goal. And the other thing to take from it, although we did say our defence was having a bit of a mad one and Lukic was broken, Ian Wright and Mark Bright, 150 games, 120 goals, now 151 games and 120 goals, because they didn't get any. If only Geoff Thomas hadn't either.
And looking at the stories in the press that were around at this time, we're still looking for a striker, but it's not going to be David Speedy, according to Wilco.
He says not. He says the Leeds public, I'm sure, are more intelligent than to fall for this kind of thing every day. It seems new names are being mentioned all the time. And the other one is John Aldridge, ready to, he's had falling outs at Real Sociedad. And is he going to come? I mean, he's been linked to come in, but Leeds since the start of the season before as well.
Just sign him, right, for God's sake.
Well, we're signing somebody who might be better, or at least we're being linked with somebody who might be better. Although it's difficult to know what to make of this one. It's a striker, Alex Russo, who had been hailed as the new Maradona before suffering a serious knee injury, and has two international caps for Argentina that he got in 1988. Only 22 and only valued at £350,000, but he's been having a trial at Old Trafford and played two reserve matches for them. And do you want to do the quote from Alex Ferguson?
You can see he has the ability and a touch of class, but it's a question of whether his knee would stand up to the first division football.
And then there's a slightly cheeky line at the end, which is possibly how this story got into the papers.
I was told he was going to Leeds.
Were you, Alex? Were you? Who told you?
To make this story more confusing, because I've never heard of this player, when you Google Alex Russo these days, Manchester United, there is a someone playing for the women's team at Manchester United called Alicia Russo, but not the same person.
There's also the protagonist of the Disney Channel sitcom, yes, The Wizards of Waverly Place, portrayed by Selena Gomez, which is the other reference. He does exist. He is Alejandro Marcelo Russo, played as a forward for Estudiantes de La Plata and Argentinos Juniors. And his two caps for Argentina were the 1988 Summer Olympics.
How many next Maradonas have there been since then? Well, I guess Messi. I guess Messi took over and then everyone was the next Messi, weren't they? But the press has always had this need, haven't they, to label every player as the next someone.
One thing we haven't mentioned yet is this story being carried in the Yorkshire Evening Post, the headline that's attached to it, which perhaps dates it somewhat, and it says, RG linked with United, which, you know, you'd think they'd be a little bit more respectful of national differences, wouldn't you, perhaps in 2020? Back then, absolute free-for-all, but at least they were good enough to put the word RG in quote marks.
And they've not called him a dirty RG, which is probably an improvement on the way it would have been a few years before that.
Yeah, the outside world hasn't troubled us too much so far during the match ball, but it is maybe time to mention that the Gulf War has begun just a couple of months before this. So the country is on kind of a war footing for the first time since the Falklands, I guess. So it would be a story if a inverted commas RG signed for Leeds at this point.
And just to add a bit more social context, we also read in the YEP that Leeds is lovely. And there are some choice quotes in here and some very important statistics and bits of information about other places around Yorkshire.
Yes, there's been a magazine survey. It doesn't say which magazine, and I can only assume from the context given that it's a women's interest publication, because although Leeds is England's favourite city, the voting in this survey said that Bradford has the best men, which is novel news. Leeds scores steadily in all categories except street safety, where it rates as low as London, which is possibly another indication this has been a survey of women not feeling safe in the streets of Yorkshire. Bus services, job opportunities, and we've got more inverted commas, the local talent do not rate very highly. But property in Leeds is cheap and affordable, unlike the men.
I mean, Dan, you were in Bradford at this point. Did you find yourself continually surrounded by gorgeous men?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I would have been 12 years old, so I wouldn't necessarily class myself as Bradford man at this point. But I was, you know, getting there, you know, day by day. The sort of manliness followed on a little while further down the line. And I can say now, as a man who is a Bradford man, yeah, Adonis is everywhere. I'm sick of it, honestly. It makes things really hard.
It's probably better than, there's a little bit of news about Sheffield as well, where the people in Sheffield are described as moderately friendly, but the local men are average, but not outstanding.
They're a great bunch of lads, is what I heard about them in Sheffield.
Leeds, lovely Leeds, and we get to go back there soon enough and get away from horrible Croydon. We've got the second leg of the League Cup versus Leicester City midweek, and then we will pick up on the 20th of October when we've got the Hoops, who are making the journey from London. Queen's Park Rangers coming to Elland Road. We'll speak to you then.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.